recorded live.
Hello, everybody. This is Rick, and you're listening to the Affair Recovery EMSO call and library call. So, welcome. This is the 15th of April, 2013, tax day. And we've got several questions today, so let's get started. First question, and this was from last week. I apologize that I didn't get this one earlier. Thank you for your response a few weeks back concerning the discouragement I feel over a super tough weekend we had where we dealt with some major reminders. I really appreciate it. Fast forward a few weeks later to the weekend we just had, and I am now dealing with the wreckage and fallout from some major emotion I had over the weekend. I'm a new mom and left my career to stay at home with my now sweet 7-month-old baby girl, but it is definitely a trying job at times, and I find myself feeling like I wish I could take a week off. However, my little daughter doesn't bottle feed, and to make a long story short, I'm only able to take a 3-hour break at a time this weekend. I think I was feeling a lot of stress about that, and we went to church, and I was feeling good yesterday, but then after, I felt a huge crash and just felt really unloved by my husband. All of a sudden, a negative feeling about him completely overtook me. Last week, we read each other our empathy letters, and in my letter to me from him, I expressed some really deep things that I wish he would say or do or feel for me. I really hadn't brought up some of those things before, and I, for some reason, thought he would suddenly get it and start testing me and treating me how I wanted to be treated. But no, nothing really changed. All this week, and coupled with the burnt out and angry emotions I felt after church, it just piled up into a huge lash out and freak out for me. I'm ashamed to say that I sometimes react in these out-of-control moments with feelings like not being here and told Steve as much, and specifically that I just basically wanted to die. And then I ran outside on a rainy day in my socks and jeans and makeup and laid down on the sopping wet grass. I can't believe I did this. And then I came back in and yelled some more and swore up a storm, and it just kind of happened on and off the rest of the day. Today, I'm feeling back to normal. I mean, not feeling great, but not feeling crazy either. Yet, I'm definitely left to deal with the wreckage I caused me and my husband. Wondering if you have thoughts on this. The chapter on reminders / emotions a few weeks ago was really helpful, but I'm obviously a major work in progress. Thank you again for your ministry. Well, so what you're describing actually is flooding, and it is created by just being in this particular place. When someone goes floods, ultimately what happens is the prefrontal cortex of your brain shuts off and you're into what we call the amygdala. It is impossible for anyone to be relational in the least at that point in time. One of the things I tell couples that when someone begins to flood, whatever the situation is, they just need to take a time out. You can't continue talking, and the more you talk, the more you'll flood. You've got to actually begin to think about something else. So if you find yourself in that situation again, instead of thinking of everything you want to say, oftentimes reading something that would take your mind to another place, like a magazine, Woman's Day, nothing about relationship, for heaven's sake, maybe a good novel. You need to just, you're going to have to be able to slowly try to calm down by focusing on something entirely different. And until your pulse rate returns to normal, it's not even safe to talk. For a lot of people, if the trauma is severe enough, they find that it even takes up to, they have to go to bed and go to sleep that night before the system kind of reboots itself and resets. So I would at least, don't be too hard on yourself. When people begin to flood, they're not going to be able to do much about it. And hopefully the anger management piece will help you some. The other thing that I would say about your question here, you're talking about the letter that you wrote. The purpose of that letter really isn't to get your mate, and I've never even thought about this, but it's not to get your mate to do something different. Many, many people, that when they write that letter, it's the first time they even allow themselves to consider that there's something they would like to even hear from their mate. It's really to help you look into the future of what you might want out there someday. So thank you for even bringing that up. But my point wasn't to get your husband to change. My point was for you to think, you know, I really, there are things I would still like to be able to hear from him and do with him, rather than just thinking there's no way out of being with him. But take care of yourself, please, and take the time out. You might jump ahead to the chapter on anger and read that too and see if it gives you any suggestions that can help. So that was a great question. Thank you very much. Second question here. I had two D-days, if you will. The first was last May when he told me he was talking to someone he really liked. I started then to really work on the behaviors I had that were contributing to our problem. And he told me he stopped talking to her. Then, in September, 4 months later, I discovered it was a physical relationship and they were in love. He told me then in November and again in January that he would stop seeing her. I got a new job this month. He got a new job this month. They were coworkers. But I discovered a Go phone and he's using to communicate with her. I love my spouse and want to save our marriage. How long do I support his ambivalence? Is there ever a time for an ultimatum? I feel in a constant state of paranoia and torture. This is beyond awful. I just need him to make a decision. Well, here's the sad thing. Probably he's not going to be able to make much of a decision. Probably the only person that's going to make a decision at this point is going to be you. I would not put up with this ambivalence. I would give a season, maybe. I mean, you've already gone farther than I probably would have recommended. But at some point, you've got to sit there and say, you know, this isn't healthy for you. It's not healthy for me. I hope you decide what you want someday. But right now, I love you, and there's nothing I wouldn't do to help. There's nothing you can ever do to get me to quit loving you. But my love isn't enough to help set you free, which is why you need to leave and get some help and figure out what you need to do, because I'm not going to be a part of this process. And then have him leave. Kick him out. I would recommend a separation. And I know you're thinking, well, he'll probably go to her. And probably, you know, he will. But at the same time, you need to start working on yourself and being who you want to be as a person, lady you can respect and like. Be somebody that would be appealing and attractive to him if you want, but not to please him. Ultimately, you just want to do what you need to do to be healthy and be okay. And get going on that. I mean, in the long run, you're going to be far better off when he gets out of this relationship. And if he's not getting help, he's going to need to get help. Something like hope for healing would be great for him if he would do it. But he's got to accept the fact at some point that he can't do this on his own. And even this past weekend at EMS, we had still stuck in relationships like this. And so we actually put into place a very different type of plan. But their spouse also knows that when to leave if they don't stop. So I would, you know, you can either give him one more ultimatum, and if you find something, just say okay. Or you're probably gone far enough now, if you know he's still in contact, where you say, you know, there's nothing you'll ever do to get me to quit loving you, which is why you're leaving, because my love isn't what you need, and it's not okay to continue this. And I have enough self-respect, I won't continue letting you do this to me or letting you hurt yourself. So, hope that is helpful. Here's your next question. My husband and I participated at an EMS. At the time we were there, I still thought he had not fully disclosed everything about the affair he had had over 3 years, that 3 years ago that had lasted 6 months. He had told me it was an emotional affair and that he'd only kissed her once. 1 month after EMS, I found out that I had a sexually transmitted disease. He finally confessed that they had sex, but only one time. Right before I found out about the affair, he was talking to her on the phone 3 to 4 hours a week and was still seeing her one-on-one weekly. He told me that the one thing they had, that one time they had sex was 3 months prior to discovery. My question for you is, once you have started having sex with your AP and you have totally disengaged emotionally and sexually from your spouse, is it really possible that you see the AP for 3 months more without continuing to have sex with them? 2 weeks later, he rededicated himself to Jesus during a worship service from the time he supposedly came clean on the other lies, and that happened over the lies that have happened over our 33 years of marriage. Some voluntarily and others, I received only vague answers. In my heart, I believe there is still more to many of the things I ask him about. As we travel down the road of recovery, how important is it that he be completely honest about all the hurts and lies from the past with me and himself? What concerns me is that he may not really be recovering, but moving on. Is this where I need to leave his recovery in God's hands? His fidelity is unknown by any, his infidelity is unknown by any of our family and friends, as far as I know. Should I suggest that he needs an accountability partner besides me? I don't want to shame him more, but something about all the secrecy around our problems makes me uncomfortable. I totally agree. So I think that in this sort of situation, the worst thing we have are good intentions, and I'm sure he's as serious as a heart attack and never plans on doing it again. But as I say, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. What's going to keep him clean is the ability to finally be honest, not only with others but himself. I always say, if you can't accept where you're at, you'll never get to where you're going. And many of us just want to believe we can move on and we won't repeat. But he's already said the day you got married that he would never do it, and he did it. So you know that deception has ultimately been a problem, and you're probably the most difficult person for him to tell because of his shame. The only way to get out of shame is to have others that you can talk to about it and kind of blaspheme that shame and get real. So possibilities for him if he's willing to do it. Because you can't be, and I don't even think you should be his accountability partner, to be honest, especially since you're probably the most difficult person for him to talk to, and he needs to get rid of his shame. So if he would do Hope for Healing, again, that would be phenomenal for this man, just because he would suddenly have a support group. That's what it's designed for, and it would teach him a lot about secretiveness and deception and how to begin to move out of that, and hopefully just how to be more honest and have a place where he could finally begin to bear his soul. Another possibility is finding doing something like Celebrate Recovery, or doing Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous, Sex Addicts Anonymous, 12-step. Any sort of 12-step program would also promote that rigorous honesty that I think he needs, or again, Hope for Healing, which would allow him to maintain his anonymity. If he's got a few good men friends who are willing to really be honest and transparent, that would be the other path he could take, maybe to find some healing and help around those things. Last but not least, let's see. My husband confessed to me this weekend that he has still been in personal contact via phone and internet with his affair partner when he was at work, and he will probably lose his job over it. For the last 13 months, he's been only going through the motions of recovery, and ironically, I've always questioned his motive from the beginning. He seemed to do everything for me. He didn't need healing, but that I did because he was the one who had hurt me. He has always been defensive and agitated when I would talk about things with him. After his confession Saturday morning, I have been a broken and humbled man. All of the behavior, he has been a broken and humble man. All of the behavior I had been waiting to see all along. He's talked with our EMSO group leader and confessed it all and wants to tell our group this week. Confessed to our children, my parents, and even understood before our entire pack and stood before our entire packed church, confessed everything to them. He said he's willing to do whatever it takes, and even though I don't trust him on his words, I want to give him the opportunity to walk the walk, to do whatever it takes. I haven't fought every day for the past 13 months for the life of our marriage to just quit now. My question is this: what do I do? It has hit me that we are back to ground zero, and I am understandably a little numb and shocked. I want his AP to know that he's confessed it all and that he's breaking it off completely. Should this be done? What should I expect to see from him? Do we start our EMSO class over? He believes he needs to start seeing our marriage counselor again. He quit going about the time his communication with the AP started back up and has already reached out to a few men in our church. I want to hope, but I'm scared right now. I'm just going day by day right now. My mind is spinning, and I need someone to help me make sense of it all and guide me. Well, I don't know that I would have had him tell as many people as he told, and I certainly understand why you're spinning the way you're spinning. But again, yes, things need to be clearly terminated with the affair partner. Together, you need to get on the phone. You need to call the affair partner. He needs to tell her that he has hurt you very deeply, that he, in no uncertain terms, wants to be with you and is choosing you and feels terrible about what he's done to you and to your marriage, that he has told everyone, and he wants no further contact from her whatsoever. And then he can tell her, if you do contact me, I will have my wife respond. So that you'll know whenever something is there. If he's still getting contact from her, I would trade cell phones. And you can keep his phone and respond to it. He can keep your phone. And if there's anything important, then you can text him and tell him to call a client or whoever might be on that phone. But terminating things with the affair partner is absolutely essential. It sounds like you've seen a lot of reform on his part already, where he's beginning to make forward progress. What's going to be important here is his willingness to stay that course and to stay humble. I don't know that you need to start the EMSO course over again. I don't know what week you're on. But it might not hurt. Contact Sonny and Arjoni and see if whoever you were in touch with and see what would be necessary to join another group. I mean, for him, being able to do it, being honest, would probably be a good idea. We've actually, in fact, this past weekend at EMS, we had a very similar situation where somebody had continued contacting his affair partner even while they were at EMS and afterwards, and then in the long run, what they did was came back a year later after he had finally terminated it, and that one was much more meaningful for her in helping his wife recover as well as for him. I think it will take time for you to get over, to move beyond all the hurt you've experienced. I am so sorry, and I know he probably feels horrible too. So it's understandable that you would be suspicious. Listen to his heart. If he feels really broken and he's doing what you feel is necessary, then at least you know that he's somewhat safe. If he's non-defensive, that's going to be very, very helpful. You just want to see him doing the work to take care of himself. If he's not doing that, then you still may not be safe. I hope he'll answer your questions. That's going to be really important. And yeah. You know, I would suggest that this may be kind of what's been needed. If you remember back on relapse prevention, I said that typically relapse is the thing that finally gets people to the point where they're going to be willing to do whatever it'll take. And I do pray and hope he'll be at that place that he'll do whatever it takes. That all being said, that's the end of our call today. So I want to thank everybody for joining the call, and I look forward to talking to you guys next Monday. Hope you have a good week. To healing.